This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. The Rays one out away from avoiding a four-game sweep at the hands of the Baltimore Orioles, came back from a 6-4 deficit, and they lead 7-6, two outs, top of the ninth inning. 2-0 is the score at Wrigley Field, and the White Sox showing a little bit of life here. They didn't have a hit coming into the top of the fourth inning, and now, Matt, they have the lead in the top of the fourth inning. 3-run homer for the Chicago White Sox off of Shota Imanaga. What did you say about the long ball off of Imanaga?
He had problems over the past three starts, 17 innings, had allowed six home runs. And his problem here is he walked the leadoff guy, and before you know it, you're in big trouble. 3-2 White Sox. Cubs were big favorites. What did we say, minus 550 or so after back-to-back home runs to start the game? Now the White Sox take the lead.
Randall Grichuk with the 3-run homer, and they are now minus 129 live.
Trivia question for you, Tim. Do you know who Randall Grichuk was drafted before, one spot before in the Major League Baseball draft? I'm going to say about 12 years ago.
Mike Trout.
That's it.
All right, let's head to our progressive guest line. Welcome in a gentleman who definitely would be drafted ahead of Mike Trout in my eyes, the one and only Brett McMurphy, America's Insider, on three. You can follow him on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. Brett, the AP Top 25 came out today, and you were putting out a lot of nuggets of information regarding the AP Top 25. And we'll start with the one for Ohio State faithful, Ohio State bettors. Not ideal if you've got an Ohio State future, huh?
Yeah, look, I mean, every year is independent of itself, but, you know, when you have a, you know, I hate to say, oh, you look at a trend, and you can say whether it's a good trend or not, but when something has happened 20 out of 22 years, it's pretty telling. And that is the preseason number one ranked team has not won the national championship in 20 of the last 22 years. You have to go all the way back to 2017 when Alabama did it for the last number one preseason team to win it. I don't know if, what you guys think. Part of that's probably you got a target on your back, all those cliches. There's nowhere to go but down, and I just think teams can't live up to that scrutiny for an entire season.
You know, Brad, I was talking about the same is basically true of the AP college basketball poll. The preseason number one team never wins it. I think it's happened once in the last 16 years or something like that. So it's not that surprising to see that trend. You remember a year ago what a disaster the top five of the AP poll was?
Top 10.
Yeah,
number
right.
Number two, Penn State. Number four, Clemson. Number nine, LSU. All finished out of the top 10. And you could go back. I mean, this is crazy. Every year in the past 23 seasons, except one year, so 22 of the last 23, a team that started in the preseason top 10 finished the year unranked. So just take a glance there at your top 10.
Right.
Who are you guys picking to finish unranked out of that group?
Oh, boy, Tim, who are you picking to finish unranked? Ole Miss?
Either them or A&M. I would say if I had to pick
Texas
one.
Texas A&M. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I would probably pick Ole Miss.
I'd go Ole Miss or Texas A&M, one of those teams.
I like Oklahoma's defense too much. I do think they should be able to stay in the top 25.
Brett, I believe you're very high on Oregon. That's my number two team. You like the Ducks quite a bit, right?
I do, Matt. I've got them number one. I mean, look, anyone in the top six or seven, I have no argument if you want to put them number one. I just think, and I think you guys have talked about this before, you know, you compare it to a professional team that gets close year after year and advances a little bit further in the playoffs each year until they finally get through and win the whole thing. I think that's the case with Oregon. A lot of guys that could have gone to the NFL that stuck around. Dante Moore's coming back. The one negative or question mark I have is, you know, Dan Lanning's either inability or bad luck in rematches in the same season. That has just been, that has not looked good at all. So, but again, you know, it's different than even a couple of years ago when we were so locked in, okay, who's going to win 11 games, 12 games. we only have a 14 playoff now, as Miami showed last year. You don't have to even win the play in the conference title game, right, and you can make a run at the title.
Oregon's got a very interesting schedule too, Tim. Opens against Boise State, the favorite in the new look Pac-12, then at Oklahoma State, which is a hot team. Murphy loves these Cowboys. Oklahoma State,
I don't know them.
New look Oklahoma State team in week two, and then how about that game, Oregon at USC, late September.
Yeah, the schedule is challenging, no doubt, for the Ducks, but I'm with you. I mean, you know, of the seven, Brett, of the seven teams that are in the top seven, they're, you know, in that order one way or the other for the futures market. Which of the seven in that top seven, Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas, Indiana, Miami, do you have the biggest question mark about?
God, I really don't have questions about them. I guess it would be Indiana, but their schedule is so easy, Tim, that I think that'll compensate for that. I mean, you know, again, I don't know. You guys have the numbers there. Whatever they are to make the playoff, they're going to have to lose three games.
Yeah.
And I don't know who they're going to lose three games against. It's you mentioned that the top seven teams, another one, 19 of the last 22 years, a national champ has been in the top seven. So I just found this out today. So I'm not going to act like I knew this for a long time. So the 3 years that the team was not ranked in the top seven that won the national champion, they came outside of the top seven. Indiana last year, Florida State back in 2013, and Auburn, I think, in 2010. They all were ranked 13th, 20th, and 22nd. What else do they have in common? They had the Heisman Trophy winner on their team. So if you're not in the top seven and you want to win the national title, you better have the Heisman Trophy winner or you got no shot.
What are SEC coaches saying about Indiana's non-conference schedule? I know you kind of plugged into that, and they can't say a whole lot because Kurt Cignetti steamrolled Alabama and 38-3, and he's 16-0 national champ. But I got to expect that a lot of those coaches are probably saying some stuff about Cignetti's non-conference schedule. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, Eli Drinkwitz at SEC Media Days basically said they had an unfair advantage. Because they don't play anybody in the non-conference. They don't have any Power Five non-conference games scheduled till infinity, unless they add somebody soon.
You're gonna get that Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's gone. So they're gonna exactly 2-for-1. But also, guys, they dropped Virginia. They dropped a home and home with Virginia. I mean, that's sad.
That is weak. I said the same thing last week.
It was Louisville, Virginia, and then Notre Dame. And then Cignetti comes out and says, well, they should play us twice at home.
You don't have to play Texas or Notre Dame, but to play some respectable Power Four opponents. And that's my only problem with Cignetti's schedule. Brett McMurphy, if you follow him on Twitter, you saw today, for the first time in 18 years, Alabama is ranked outside the top 10 in the AP preseason poll. Lowest since 2008, number 13. McMurphy, what do you make of this Crimson Tide team?
Yeah, Matt, this is something that has been ongoing. This is the third or fourth consecutive year that Alabama has started the season falling further and further down the rankings. Obviously, Saban is gone. That's one reason. But it was only a few years ago that Alabama had a string of, I think it was some ridiculous number, 12, 13 years. They were ranked in the preseason top four every single year. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you guys would agree. What are they now? Maybe the sixth or seventh or eighth best team in the SEC. So they've gone from being top four nationally to they're barely in the top half of the SEC. Certainly their running game was non-existent last year. What are they going to have this year? They've got questions at quarterback. The offensive line, was a cluster last year. It doesn't look like it's any better this year. They lost four defensive linemen either to the portal or the NFL draft, and then they've got one of their starting running backs is out indefinitely. I love Kalen DeBoer. He was incredible at Washington. He was incredible at Fresno State. It's hard to follow a legend like Saban, And I don't know if just because you've got a new coach there, or if I think part of it also is the NIL stuff and the portal. Alabama can no longer stockpile all these great recruiting classes and have them move up the ranks, because now kids, if they're not playing, they're going to move and go anywhere they want. And also, Alabama does not have, you know, is compared with a lot of schools, the NIL budget that a lot of these other schools have. And I think all these things, it's the perfect storm or perfect imperfect storm, if you will. And I think that's why Alabama continues to slightly dip each year. It's not like they're going to free fall and go to 6-6, but certainly compared to Saban, these are much different times.
The best mustache in college football, Brett McMurphy, America's insider. Check out his work on Three at Brett_McMurphy. Brett, always appreciate it, sir. Talk to you soon.
All right, Tim. I noticed you left out the Notre Dame top five.
We ran out of time. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, McMurphy, where did you rank Notre Dame, by the way? Where is Notre Dame in your rankings?
I think I had him fifth.
Okay. That's why Tim skipped over that. We're gonna.
It was a good nugget. We just ran out of time, you know. So Brett, we're up. We got a hard break, you know. I don't know what to do.
Talk to you guys later.
Thanks,
there
Brett.
There he is. Brett's nugget on the Irish. Notre Dame ranked in the preseason top five for only the fourth time in the last 30 years. The other seasons did not end well for the Irish. 2022 finished 18th. 2006 finished 17th. 1994 with Ron Paulus at quarterback, unranked.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. 3-2 in Chicago right now. Carson Kelly, long drive, not long enough in the bottom of the fourth inning. 3-2 White Sox with the lead. Randall Grichuk with the three-run homer off of Shota Imanaga to give the White Sox the lead. And Matt, you mentioned it a couple updates ago when we were talking about this game. After giving up those leadoff homers, he gave up a homer to PCA and then Seiya Suzuki. Luis Castilla has kind of calm down a little bit here. 73 pitches through 3 2/3, but PCA at the plate right now. Big spot here in the bottom of the fourth inning. P. Crow Armstrong already 2-for-2 today with a homer and a single.
Oh, boy. Well, he got a hold of that one. That was a line drive. I think he got a pitch to drive there, and he just pulled it foul. But P. Crow Armstrong definitely zeroed in on what Luis Castillo is throwing here. Look at that. That was a pitch to hit. 2-for-2 so far. Castillo has calmed down quite a bit. You would think when the Cubs open the game with back-to-back homers, the Cubs are going to roll to a win in this game. But the White Sox have come back to take a lead. Two outs in the top bottom of the fourth. And we'll see what PCA does with his third plate appearance here. But credit to Luis Castillo, right? I think the Cubs were minus 550.
Yeah, they were big favorites.
Somewhere in that range. And he certainly settled down after a worst start imaginable to the game tonight.
Quick update from Colorado, Matt. We have a Dodgers lead, 1-0 over the Colorado Rockies. Men
Mookie
on the
Betts,
corners.
RBI double.
Yep, Mookie Betts. Blake Snell, good start. Just two innings so far, but two strikeouts, just 18 pitches. Very efficient. 18 pitches, 16 strikes so far for Blake Snell. Things got a little bit more interesting, Matt, in Philadelphia. As we head to the eighth inning, 4-3, the Marlins plated two runs in the top of the seventh inning. So that game sits 4-3, headed to the eighth. And then the San Diego Padres, who are tied with the Philadelphia Phillies for that second wild card spot, they currently trail the New York Mets 2-1. That game in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Mets right now looking at the live line, massive favorites with men on, I believe, first and second here. In this eighth inning, minus 1180. No outs, men on first and second. Quick back swing to P. Crow Armstrong. 2-2 count here against Luis Castillo. Man on first, and he is out.
Wow. Nice
on a
pitch.
Beautiful fastball just kind of hugged right back in on the inside corner of the plate. PCA down on strikes. Head to the fifth at Wrigley. 3-2 White Sox with the lead. Always great to talk to our buddy Brett McMurphy. Some good tweets out there at @Brett_McMurphy on Twitter. Clemson unranked in the preseason for the first time since 2011. That was Dabo's third full year as the Clemson Tigers head coach, Matt. And let's take a look at the preseason.
Yeah, go ahead. It kind of feels like this is the end of the road for Dabo, doesn't it? If he doesn't have a good season, I think the Clemson fans have tired of his act, and it's almost like it's time for him to move on, time for them to part ways. I mean, what do you expect from Clemson this season?
Nothing special.
All right, if they do nothing special, do you think that's it for him? Time for him to move on?
I guess the question is, who you getting, right? Is it, grass isn't always greener, but has it gone too stale there?
Right.
I mean, their win total 7.5, Matt. They're a 9.5-point underdog week one. Let me ask you this, because I want to dump into the AP Top 25. You love to bet dogs. I like to bet dogs. Clemson catching 9.5 week one at LSU. Will you be tempted to look at the Clemson Tigers on a Saturday night primetime game in the Bayou?
I'll be tempted. I don't know if I'll do it. And if I did, I would have to get at least 10.
You might get it. Yeah. I mean, the public's going to be on LSU.
I think you might get 10.5, 11. Who knows? We'll see. I'm not going to bet it now. I got to get a better read on Clemson than I have right now, and especially the quarterback situation, too.
Looks like Vezina is leading, but not locked down yet. Pull that schedule one more time, just on Clemson. Just a quick thought. So you got at LSU, underdog. At Cal on a Friday night, that's going to be weird. I'm going to tell you right now, Matt Newman's will probably have Cal plus the points in that game, depending on what the price is. Home to Miami, that could be an intriguing home dog spot. That game...
Tigers could be live home
doesn't
dogs.
Doesn't it scream, that's the Mario mess-up game?
Yes,
October 3rd at home.
If I had to circle,
little old Clemson, maybe come off a loss to Cal.
I had to circle one game on the schedule where I might be... I'm most likely to be on Clemson, probably be that home dog spot against Miami.
Yeah, and you think about it. What if they lose on a Friday night to Cal? They're 2-2. Miami's undefeated, maybe top five. That could be a really interesting spot there. So AP Top 25 comes out. We mentioned it earlier in the show. Not necessarily anything that, from a betting standpoint. We've talked about the top 10 a bunch, so here it is, just a repeat. Ohio State 1, Oregon 2. Georgia 3, Notre Dame 4, Texas 5. Let's stop there. Matt, in your power ratings, you have Notre Dame 1. You've got Oregon 2.
Mm-hmm. Georgia 3, Ohio State 4, Texas 5, Indiana 6, Miami 7.
So anything jump out in the top 7 that you think is catastrophically wrong?
No, because like I mentioned, my power ratings 1 through 4, those teams are separated by 2 points. That's right. Just such a razor-thin separation in the top four. And then I even going down to the top seven, from 1 to 7, the separation is only 3.5 points. That's not much at all when you're talking about power ratings. So what jumps out to me when you look at this AP Top 25, I think Texas A&M's overranked at 8. I could see Ole Miss having some problems. You got a head coach, Pete Golding, who we don't know if he's going to be able to handle everything first time in this role. And... Oklahoma at 10. I certainly understand that ranking. Sooners have a brutal schedule, man. They really got to navigate a tough schedule. LSU, Texas Tech, Alabama right there. The only thing I would say when you look at this first page of the rankings is I don't think Texas A&M deserves to be as high as number 8.
The question is who does? I guess you could put Ole Miss there because they made a deeper run. I mean, Oklahoma lost a home game. Texas A&M lost a home game.
I've got BYU, actually, I know, in the top 10.
You're very high on BYU. You've got them ahead of Texas Tech, who comes in at 12. Alabama comes in at 13. So top 13 there. Matt, continuing looking at this top 25 and things that jump out to you or seem a bit off, you've got BYU at 14. That would be something that maybe is a bit off. Based off of your...
It could
actually, BYU, I mean, and USC, they're tied for 14th, BYU and USC.
USC's got a ton of potential, too.
I do, yeah.
USC's got a ton of talent, ton of potential. The thing I love about BYU and why I bumped the rating up a little bit higher, it's a veteran team, Tim. It's almost like an NFL team when you look at the ages of the players on the depth chart, and they brought everyone back. They didn't lose anything. In the NIL transfer portal era, How rare is it for a team like BYU to bring basically everything back?
Well, they bring everything back except for their top three pass catchers.
Right, but I always said receivers, I believe, are replaceable. And it's not like they run an aerial circus at BYU.
They do bring back L.J. Martin, which is a big return
That's a key guy.
Jay Hill leaves to be the defense coordinator at Michigan. Michigan comes in at 16, 9 wins a year ago. And, Matt, you could say upgrades everywhere. Upgrades, head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. The coaching was a mess, but the Michigan schedule is also very challenging. When you think about Michigan versus a Penn State, who's two spots behind them, man. Penn State won the schedule lottery, also plays nobody in the non-con. Mm-hmm. Michigan has to play Ohio State and Oregon on the road.
Not going to win.
Indiana
those.
At home, and they play Oklahoma in the non-con.
Wolverines are going to have to upset Indiana or Oklahoma to even have a chance to go over that win total of 8.5. Then they'd have to win all the other games. I do think it's a major coaching upgrade with Kyle Whittingham, even though he's lost a little bit off his fastball. It's a big, big upgrade in coaching. Washington at 17, Penn State at 18. I could see that. SMU 19, Tennessee 20. And then you round out the top 25 with Utah, Iowa, Houston, Louisville, and Missouri. I think Louisville's got a lot of upside when you look at those teams that round out the top 25.
Yeah, I think Louisville, we've talked about it a bunch. That is, I think, a very live dog week one when they take on Ole Miss in Nashville. That's why you've seen the market already move from 7.5 down to 6.5. Big unfortunate news, Tennessee lost their starting safety over the weekend due to a knee injury, so a massive loss there. But I'll tell you what, Tennessee's a team that intrigues me a little bit. Some upside there with Faison Brandon, the likely starter at quarterback. Some unknown situations. And, you know, Matt, there's a game that I've circled for Tennessee. They host Texas September 26th. I think that could be a home dog spot to maybe look at old Rocky Top there, especially if Texas wins that Week 2 showdown against Ohio State.
Kind of like that country song that Will Hill loves so much. Are you choosing Texas or Tennessee? Have you heard that song?
I have not.
Will Hill was tweeting, complaining that that's on the radio every 5 minutes when he's in his car. Is he choosing Texas or Tennessee? Who are you taking, Tim? Balls or the Longhorns?
I mean,
that's going to be a tough spot for the Longhorns.
Give me some points. Yeah, give me some points. And at Neyland Stadium, give me them. Give me. Hey, just a reminder, folks, VSIN Pro, you can get an intro offer right now, $9.99. And with that offer, you get our VSIN College Football Betting Guide and our VSIN NFL betting guide, as well as the update coming in 2 weeks. What a deal. Intro offer, $9.99, vsin.com/subscribe. You know, Matt, some people say Brett McMurphy's a Notre Dame hater. I might have found a bigger Notre Dame hater.
Oh, this guy hates the Irish.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt, let's get an update from Chicago. The Cubs look like they were about to take the lead. Luis Castillo thought he had just given up a two-run homer, but it was warning track power from, was that Alex Bregman? No, Alex Bregman's at the plate. Michael Busch.
Bush
hit
it.
Field.
Yeah, when Bush hit it, you could tell by his expression he thought he probably had a home run, and it just falls a little bit short at the wall. And Cubs had the leadoff walk, so instead of a 4-3 lead, they're still down 3-2. But Luis Castillo, a little bit shaky here. We'll see if Alex Bregman can take advantage.
By the way, update from Dodgers, Colorado. How about Max Muncy hitting a 461-foot homer? Three-run shot, top of the third. Dodgers leading in Colorado 5-0. Dropped 3 of 4 over the weekend to the Milwaukee Brewers. And now, as I asked earlier, would they exercise some demons? Certainly seems they are exercising them at this moment in time. The San Diego Padres, Matt, down to their final out in the top of the ninth inning at Citi Field. Mets lead 2-1 right now over the San Diego Padres.
Padres still hanging in there, Tim. I still think when you talk about the National League and you look forward to, Dodgers, Brewers, Cubs, Braves, teams that can win the National League, I don't put the Padres in that category. I don't see the Padres as a legitimate threat. You always feel like you're going to find a way to choke.
right now, and we got still plenty of baseball to play, and as we've talked about, as the Cubs get a one-out single, I beg your pardon, from Alex Bregman, so men on first and second. You mentioned it, Matt. I want to take a look at the live number. I'm actually curious about what it is right now. Cubs moved back to the favorite at minus 121, so you're not getting plus money here, but you mentioned it. Castillo flirting a little bit with disaster. He calmed down after those early homers, and now men on first and second, one out. This one could be kind of an interesting spot here for the Cubs and White Sox. Castillo's already up at 92 pitches, so you imagine his night is going to be done here soon.
This might be the last batter he faces. We'll see what happens here. Runners on first and second, and yeah, he got off the hook a little bit there with Bush. Looked like he was going to take him deep, but he shot to the wall, and now Bregman has got him on the ropes here with two runners on and one out. And we'll see if the Cubs can do something with this rally.
Tell you what.
Cubs was one point we said minus 550 when they hit the back-to-back homers to start the game.
Tell you what, the Phillies-Marlins game has ended up being really entertaining here tonight. It's now 5-4, Phillies with the lead. Phillies have had the lead majority of the evening here, Matt, but they just gave up a solo homer in the top of the eighth inning. So right now, 5-4 lead in that contest, Citizens Bank Park, top of the eighth inning, Marlins down by just one run. As mentioned, coming into today, the Phillies and Padres had the second and third spot in the NL wild card, and the Padres go down at Citi Field. So the Mets have won, I think, four in a row now. So when it doesn't matter, the Mets win baseball games, apparently.
Well, you know, there's a lot of golfers who are good at that too, right? When they're out of contention, they shoot their best round on Sunday. But, you know, Dave Ross is going to be in a really good mood tomorrow morning when I go on that show with Super Dave and Jensen. Dave's always in a good mood, but the Mets, four in a row?
Mets are winning.
Could they pull this off?
Matt, the Mets are on fire. They just swept the Nats. Now they beat the Padres. And everybody seems to be bullish on the Dallas Cowboys to win the NFC East.
I hate to say it. I've said it since June. I kind of like the Cowboys,
too. I do, too. I feel terrible about it. Haven't bet it yet. Probably will, and, you know, it's one of those things where if they don't win, here's the problem. So we mentioned we've got our fantasy draft, our futures draft, and I just am wondering, I'm going to pull up. So Steve Cohen emailed us today, gave us the list. Dave has the ninth pick. How many Cowboys futures will be off the board by the time Dave comes? And what would you set the price on for Dave Ross to pick a Cowboys future with the ninth overall pick on Thursday?
I would say he's definitely a favorite to take a Cowboys-related pick.
Because you could
round.
Do a team future,
he could take
player
him to win
future.
He could take Dak Prescott to lead the league in TD passes or passing yards. He could take Cowboys to win the division. It's going to be a Cowboys pick.
He'd go win total over, division winner. That might have. I would say, I bet you Cowboys to win the NFC East will be gone by the time Dave comes to the board at 9.
I don't know about that.
You don't think it's juicy enough?
One thing I learned about last year's draft, and again, I had the most winners. It was 6-4. What did you have, 4 or 5 winners? Something
I think
like
I had
that?
Five. I finished in third place.
If you hit 115-1 shot, you can steal this thing, right?
Yeah.
I think Patrick Maher might have only had 3 or 4 winners, but he had a 15-1 shot, and then he that was enough to overtake me at the top with his Jonathan Taylor most rushing touchdowns, right? I believe a 14 or 15-1 odd. So, you know, you can play these division bets at Cubs are going to take the lead.
Wow.
That's a throwing error. And I believe the Cubs are going to get 2 runs on this play.
Ian Happ racing home. He will score. It is a circus right
now
with the White Sox
defense.
What
is going on? That was a chopper down the third baseline, throwing air. Yeah. And before you know it, the Cubs down 3-2 or up 4-3 with 2 outs in the fifth. That was not Castillo's problem there. That was
minus 348 now for the Cubs. I said minus 120. It's intriguing. I wish it was plus money. And now, lo and behold, as we watch this, a weak ground ball to third base. Vargas tries to barehand it, throws it away, and 2 runs end up scoring. One was going to score no matter what. He was right. Not going to get Happ. Maybe a good throw gets him, but
yeah,
it's a terrible
so.
Throw. And sometimes you just got to eat it. And I'm sure Wrigley Field is going nuts right now as the Cubs have regained the lead 4-3 in the bottom of the fifth in what probably was Luis Castillo's final pitch of the night.
All right. By the way, get back to what we were talking about. As far as this NFL futures draft.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think two division win, Broncos to win the division, Patriots to win the division. Those are nice, but 1-15-1 shot really adds up, and that's how Patrick Maher ended up winning that draft. So, Tim, I think I'm more inclined in this draft to take some longer shots with the early round picks. You know, take a 10-1 shot or 15 or 20-1 shot. Kind of like in the baseball draft where I have Cam Schlittler at 50-1 to win AL Cy Young. If you just win that one play, that would be enough to win the draft, right? So what do you think? Do you have your eyes on a couple of long shots?
I'm trying to look up real quickly.
Who is in this photo, by the way, put this promo up there. Who is in the middle of the top row? Who is that?
That's the guru, John Hansen.
Oh, okay. At first I thought it was Paul Howard, and I said, that guy, he's got too much hair to be Paul Howard. There's Paulie on the bottom row. Okay.
I was trying to. I'll look it up. I think I have it somewhere in my email of the draft results from a year ago.
But so, I'm going to look for some longer shots, 10, 15, 20, 30-1 shots, because you hit one of those, you can win a draft like this.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You can pick a bunch of winners like I did last year, but it gets you second place. So find a long shot, and I think that's more of the key. I've got the 10th pick. You've got the 13th pick, and we have no idea how Steve Cohen picked a draft order here. Did Dave Ross pay him?
He got the 9th pick, though, so it wasn't like Dave got a great pick about it.
9th pick's a pretty good spot. I like this. So I'm in the 10th spot. It's okay. I'm not complaining. Patrick got the first pick. 13th. That's, I don't know, 10. I think you should be a little upset about that. Do you want to call into question Steve Cohen's draft order, how this came about?
You know, they were scared about VSiN Primetime's dominance from a year ago, us finishing second and third, respectively. So they were nervous. So they had to put us a little bit further back. That's all right. You know, we'll make it work. I'll get that the bounce back there, and we'll be all right. By the way, Bryce Harper, hard hit ground base hit, bottom of the 8th inning, 5-4 Phillies with the lead, and indeed it was the final pitch of the evening there for Luis Castillo. So man on second for the Cubs, bottom of the 5th inning, and the Cubs right now have a 4-3 lead. If you're wondering about that futures draft, it'll be on Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll have some newcomers as well. The guru, John Hansen, Nick Bakay, and Keyshawn Johnson. Bum, 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 bum. I should ask him about the Notre Dame-USC rivalry. He was not pleased that his alma mater has backed out of that rivalry.
He should not be. By the way, we got a developing situation in Colorado. Dodgers up 5-0. Rockies got the bases loaded with no outs, and now there's one out on a grounder, so it's 5-1. Dodgers could not turn the double play there, so Blake Snell in a little bit of trouble here. By the way, the White Sox get a grounder back to the pitcher, and they get out of it. End of the 5th in Chicago, 4-3 Cubs.
Update from Fenway Park. It is all Red Sox here tonight, as the Red Sox are up big on the Arizona Diamondbacks. So a lot going on in baseball, and we'll get back to college football coming up on the other side of the break. We'll hear from a Notre Dame hater.
Oh, boy, this guy really hates Notre Dame.
And we'll hear from...
Is it Christmas era?
It is not Christmas era, shockingly. We'll hear from Phil Steele as well on some dark horses in the college football playoffs. Stick around. It is VSiN Primetime here on a Monday night.
Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Monday evening. Got lots of baseball going on. A blowout at Fenway Park. The Red Sox leading 11-1. Our game of the night is so far living up to it, Matt. Entertaining game at Wrigley. Shota Imanaga back out there for the 6th inning. A leadoff man on base. So one on, one out. 4-3 lead for the Chicago Cubs. Just got a run home on an error by the White Sox defense. So it is 4-3 right now, and the Cubs -296 on the money line. Total sitting at 10.5 in this contest right now.
Yeah, the Cubs are going to put Shota Imanaga out there and see if he can finish off the top of the six against the White Sox. You got one runner on, one out, 4-3 lead at Wrigley Field. Red Sox rolling 11-1 tonight. Dodgers up 5-1. Blake Snell loaded the bases with no outs, but he got out of trouble. 5-1 Dodgers, top of the fourth at Coors Field tonight. And the Royals on top of the A's 7-4. In a high-scoring game in Kansas City.
By the way, our buddy Ryan Hyatt listening in down there in Lubbock, Texas.
Is he at Brian's Steakhouse tonight?
We'll have to check in. Maybe he's there to celebrate the news that Donovan Atwell is coming back for a fifth year with this ruling allowing the 5-for-5 to start now. Texas Tech brings back Donovan Atwell, who last year averaged 13.5 points per game in his senior season, but he will be back for the Red Raiders this upcoming year. So Texas Tech getting some good news there from a starter of last year's team, Donovan Atwell returns.
Yeah, that fifth year is going to change some things in college. It's going to be a bunch of players coming back to college basketball that looked like they were done.
Yeah, a couple of college.
I will say, too, I know some sharp bettors who have been jumping on Texas Tech in the last couple weeks anticipating news like this.
Yep, there you go. So keep your eyes out for some more players to return. And Indiana got some good news with Stephen Daly and Kellen Wyatt, both announcing their return for a fifth year at Indiana, both coming off of injury. Speaking of college football teams in the state of Indiana, Matt, Notre Dame checks in at number 4 in this year's preseason AP poll. And one Notre Dame hater, and no, it's not Chris Massaro, Danny Cannell is not high on the Irish this fall.
That's when I like to unload, is when a stock feels like it's a little bit top heavy and everybody's in on it. That, to me, is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I look at everybody. There's a lot of predictions for them to be in the college football playoff. But this one, really, to me, is about the ceiling of what they could be. I am selling Notre Dame as a national championship contender. The reason why, I think their lack of competition in the regular season, which is only a 3-game schedule with BYU, SMU, and Miami, I think that eventually comes back to haunt them in the postseason. What did we see last year with Ohio State? Perfect in the regular season. They go to the Big Ten title, get beat by Indiana, go to the playoffs, get beat by Miami. First time they really were battle tested. I think you could see the same outcome from Notre Dame. Still bullish on them in the regular season to make it there, but their ceiling is what I'm selling.
Didn't Ohio State play Texas in week one last year?
Yes.
But they weren't battle tested.
And by the way, Indiana played a very weak non-conference schedule last year and went 16-0 and happened to beat Alabama 38-3, steamrolled Oregon. I mean, you can punch holes through that argument right there. Indiana's schedule has been weak, but that didn't hurt the Hoosiers last year, did it?
No, it did not. And how about in 2024 when Michigan basically played no one until the end of the season? They played Ohio State. I want to say they played one other team in the week prior to that, won the Big Ten championship game, and then went on to win the national title. So, look, I do think, and I had Stanford Steve on the College Football Betting Podcast episode will be out tomorrow, Matt. And he said one of his concerns is that the schedule is weak. So that is a concern. And look, the Notre Dame schedule, unfortunately, because of the conference that Danny Cannell's alma mater is a part of, the conference sucks. I mean, it's just flat out. Notre Dame did not schedule these ACC teams. It's an agreement that they have with the conference. And thankfully, they have Miami and SMU on the schedule this year, because everyone else outside of Louisville is really not that good.
In the ACC?
Yeah, in the ACC.
Well, let's look at Notre Dame's schedule here, because there's a chance some of these teams on here might turn out to be better than they look in the preseason, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it now and you say, well, Wisconsin's going to suck, Michigan State's going to suck, Purdue, North Carolina, whatever. Some of these teams might turn out to be a little bit better than you think. Let's say Wisconsin playing the Badgers in Green Bay, that's not a cupcake game. I know Wisconsin's down, but again, you're playing him in Green Bay. And this Wisconsin got one of the top quarterbacks out of the transfer
Colton Joseph.
So I still know, even though Notre Dame's a 3-touchdown favorite, that's more of a credit to Notre Dame. The Badgers, are not going to be bad. I don't think they're going to be bad. Then you get Rice, Michigan State, Purdue. I don't know if Barry Odom's going to make the Boilermakers much better this year, but that was a 56-30 game last year in South Bend. Can Bill Belichick, does he have anything ready at all for Notre Dame when the Irish go to North Carolina? I don't know.
Probably
maybe
not.
Maybe that could be competitive. Probably not. Stanford?
No.
Probably not. At BYU.
Absolutely.
Now, that's a tough game.
Absolutely.
That's as tough a game as you're going to find on really any schedule. Playing at Provo at altitude in October. Man, that's a really difficult game for Notre Dame. Navy. Then you're home against Miami. Look, that's a top seven team in the Hurricanes team to play for a national championship. BC, SMU, at Syracuse. I don't think the schedule's as weak as a lot of people are making it out to be. I still think there's a chance you could get, you know, maybe the Irish got to break a sweat against Wisconsin, against North Carolina, against SMU. You know, aside from the obvious games against BYU and Miami. You can look at almost any team's schedule, Tim, and find five games that you're going to chalk up as a win that are easy wins, right? You could do the same thing with Notre Dame, except you're going to chalk up seven on Notre Dame's schedule.
Yeah, and once again, the agreement that they've had with the ACC, unfortunately for them, is the teams just aren't that good right now, including Danny Cannell's alma mater, whose win total is sitting there at 6.5, and I happily played that game under the total. Let me ask you this question.
I think when Notre Dame scheduled the Wisconsin game, too, you schedule that against the Badgers in Green Bay.
10 years ago.
That's a tough game.
They were an underdog of about a touchdown when they played at Soldier Field in 2021. One of the most misleading box scores you'll ever see in that game. Go look it up. Notre Dame won 41-13. They trailed 13-10 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I had the under in that game. It did not, unfortunately, with two pick sixes and a kickoff return for a touchdown, did not get there on the under, Matt. But I want to ask you a question, and maybe we could save it for the other side.
I'm intrigued a little bit by Notre Dame at North Carolina.
24.5 is the spread?
I know. I just wonder if I wonder if Bill Belichick is going to have a little bit better team than everyone expects. I don't expect much from the Tar Heels. Again, you're talking about the greatest coach of all time, arguably, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be a home dog.
I mean,
big home dog. Does he have anything? Is he going to have anything for the Irish that day in Chapel Hill?
Look, Notre Dame is not going to go 12-0 ATS this year. There are going to be games like last year in November, they slept walk against Boston College. Mm-hmm. Like, there are going to be games where they're going to potentially be in a little bit of trouble. UNC. You know, I tell you what, Syracuse, end of the year, if Steve Angeli stays healthy, we saw what they were capable of offensively before they went to that Laxbro at quarterback when they were losing games by like a million a year ago. So
I'm going to put it this way, too. If I sat down right now and made a list of the top 10 games in college football this season, Notre Dame's playing in two of them.
You put BYU Notre Dame that
hell
high?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I do. That's one of the games I'm most looking forward to. Notre Dame at BYU. And Miami at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, Miami, I think, and this is not me being a Notre Dame homer, I think that has the potential of being one of the best atmospheres of the entire college football season. Now, Ole Miss and LSU, September 19th, down in Oxford, that's going to be on another level. The hatred that will be inside that stadium will be at an all-time high. But Notre Dame, Miami, especially if both those teams are undefeated, which is possible, they'll all be favored. They'll both be favored in every single game. But I want to ask you a question, Matt, that Stanford Steve asked me on the podcast, which is, of the seven teams, and we'll answer this on the other side of the break, of the seven teams right now that are in that tier, that top seven, how many of those teams are better this year than they were last year? So we'll discuss that on the other side. Also, sure. Phil Steele on his Dark Horse team to check out. But hey, just a reminder, football season almost here, and the sharp money is already moving. Here's how the sharp plays see it first. Exclusive data feeds from four major sports books, thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracking in real time before the market moves, all of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. That's the machine, now the receipts. Every play logged, every result public. Records back to 2011, live logs since 2021. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the sharp money at sharpplays.com. It's gone final in Philly. The Philadelphia Phillies hold on to win 6-5 over the Miami Marlins. We'll update you on what's happening in our game of the night as P. Crow Armstrong gets a one-out walk in the bottom of the sixth inning. It's VSiN Primetime.